Tonight's shiur is kitnius. So we'll cover a little bit of the background about kitnius, some of the reasons for the custom, and then some of the applications of it. And we'll see. I don't know if we'll come out with a clear halachic conclusion about some of the issues, but yeah, we can discuss another time. So it's interesting because the earliest source that discusses the custom of kitnios is a Maharil. It was quoted it's a Mordechai. The Maharil quotes it also, but that's in like the 15th century, right? 15th century, the Maharil died in 1427. So that's the real first mention. The Mordechai in Pesachim mentions it in the name of the Smak, and the Smak is like the real source, Sefer Mitzvos Ketanos, the Rimi Korvail. So he was the real source for this custom, and he gives all of the reasons, a number of the reasons. But what's interesting is that there are a few Gemaras that seem to, you know, kind of touch upon it, but nobody really brings them up in connection with the halachic discussion of kitnios. But I figured we'd start there with the two Gemaras that mention it. One, I saw one brought up in the halachic discussion, and one not. And there's a good reason why not, and as we'll see. So the first Gemara is in Pesachim Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says that the Mishnah lists things that you can use for matzah. Right? The Mishnah says you can use the five grains: wheat, barley, spelt, rye, and oats. And those are the five things that you can make matzah out of. And with the other things, we're not yotzei our obligation of matzah. So even if you were to make matzah out of something else, you would not be able to eat it at the Seder to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah. Now, the Gemara then discusses what about orez v'dochan? What about rice and dochan, millet? So what about rice and millet? So the Gemara says, look, that the Mishnah lists off the five grains you can use for matzah, but you can't use rice and millet. So the Gemara says, how do I know? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk that says, "Lo tochol av chametz shivas yamim tochol av matzos." Right? The pasuk says that you should not eat matzah. You should not eat chametz for 7 days. You should eat matzah. Dvarim habayim li dechimutz adam yote b'hen yidei chovatzo b'matzah. Anything which can become chametz, which can rise and become chametz, you can use for matzah. But yatzu elu she'ein ba'in li dechimutz elo li dechirchon. As opposed to things which cannot come to chimutz, which don't rise, but rather just come to sirchon, which is some type of decaying or rotting, meaning if you grind these things into flour and you try to make bread out of rice, so it doesn't rise, it's not machmitz, it doesn't rise like bread does, something happens. The Gemara refers to that as sirchon. Some type of rotting. I don't know what would happen. I don't know if it rises a little bit. I didn't try it at home. We have some extra rice. Maybe we can try it afterwards. But so I'm not sure exactly what it looks like. But it sounds like it rises a little bit, but not quite like bread, if you try to let it rise. And therefore, the Gemara says that's referred to as sirchon. So that you can't make matzah out of, because it can't become chametz. So if it can't become chametz, it can't be matzah that you can fulfill the mitzvah with. Then the Gemara quotes, however, there is one opinion who disagrees. Masnisin de lo Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, this Mishnah is not like the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, de Amar, who says, orez min daganhu. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is of the opinion that rice is a type of grain. V'chayavin al chimutzo kares. And you would be chayav kares, you would be chayav, punished by kares, if you eat it after it rises, or whatever the process is by rice, just like you would be chayev if you ate a piece of bread on Pesach. And the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's statement, which is interesting because the Gemara says, "Detanya Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri oser ba'orez v'dochan." He prohibits using orez v'dochan on Pesach mipnei shekarov lahachmet. Right? He agrees. It doesn't sound like they're disagreeing about the practical metzias of what happens when you try to grind rice into flour and then try to make bread out of it. He doesn't say it actually rises like regular chametz. He says it's karov l'chimutz, karov l'hachmetz. means it does something which is close to becoming chametz. Then the Gemara wants to know whether that means that it becomes chametz early, or whether it's karov but not really chametz gomer. And the Gemara sounds like he assumes that it's actually chametz gomer. So even though he says it's karov lahachmetz, it sounds like he means it's real chametz, right? And whether maybe this is real chametz, just not going through the exact same process. Now, the reason why nobody quotes this, and this would be a very good proof that you have, hey, listen, this is a great chumr, right? It makes sense. We should be stringent. We should be machmir for rice on Pesach, because there's an opinion in the Gemara who says that you shouldn't eat rice on Pesach. Not only should you not eat it on Pesach, but there's an opinion in the Gemara who assumes that it is all of the chumras, all of the stringencies of chametz, which means you can't own it, which means you can't get hanah from it, you can't get any benefit from it, derive any benefit from it on Pesach, like chametz, and you certainly can't eat it. And if you do eat it, you're chayev karis, which is the punishment unique to real chametz on Pesach. So this would be a very good source for the minhug, except for the Mishnah doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Right? The Mishnah explicitly says against Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now, even if that was the case, the Mishnah says not like Rabbi Yochanan, we don't follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, or the Mishnah is arguing against Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, still you can make the case, well, still, it's still not a bad chumrah, right? It would be a chumrah for this one opinion. We don't paskin like him, but still, sometimes we're stringent in some areas. Certainly when it comes to Pesach, we have a lot of stringencies about Pesach because of the seriousness of the avera of eating chametz on Pesach. So maybe it's a worthwhile chumrah. Right? That's what you might think. The problem with that thinking is that the Gemara later on Daf Kuf Yudal and Amad Beis says explicitly, Leis dechash lahad Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Nobody worried about the statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Nobody assumed like this, which basically the Gemara completely pushes it off the table as to be almost even a reason for a chumrah. So nobody passes like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Nobody assumes like him, and it doesn't seem to be the source for our custom. It doesn't seem to be the source for our custom of not eating kitnios and rice, being one of the kitnios, but not eating kitnios on Pesach.
So is it a matter that it's not one of the five grains that you listed, or is it a matter that it just doesn't have the same degree of process rising. Of rising and
right.
becoming chametz?
Right. Probably, right. That's a good question.
In which category does it fall
right.
into?
Right. It's a good question. Whether, right... So what I was asking is, what's the reason why it's not good? Is it because it's not grain? Meaning, does it have to be grain to become matzah? You can be matzah, you can be yotze with matzah, which is specifically grain, or does it have to be yotze with matzah, which can become chametz? Right? That's ba'im li'bichimus. What would be the practical difference? Would be if you can have something which is not a grain, but somehow you can make bread out of. Right? If you could have something which is not a grain, but you can make chametz out of it, so would you be able to use that for matzah? For example, interesting because
potato bread.
But I don't know if it's real. It's not the same as bread.
Okay.
It's a different consistency than bread. And potato bread, isn't there real flour in there also?
I don't know.
So I don't know either. I don't know how they make potato bread. Anybody know how they make potato bread? Okay, I'm not sure.
Cornbread.
What?
Cornbread.
Cornbread. But cornbread is a completely different consistency than real bread. Right? So I don't know.
No,
I don't think that's chimer.
Tapioca flour? Something like that?
What's that?
Some type of...
starch.
It's something like if you go to a pizza hotel, that is what you will find.
Uh-huh.
It's as close to bread as you're going to get.
Uh-huh, but it's not bread. But see, all of those are... So I don't even know if that would be considered the fermentation process of rising bread. Meaning those might not be bread because... A, they're not grain,
right.
And second of all, they may not be bread. But let's say that was considered rising like bread, right? So that would be a good nafkamina, practical difference between an Ari's question. Would that be considered chametz because it rises like bread, and therefore we should throw it into the chametz category, or no? Chametz is only if it comes from the five grains. So that's a question. I think the Acharonim talk about that. Right? Another interesting question would be, let's say. And this I actually saw once in the Sefer. Can you make matzah out of mun? Right, let's say mun fell from Shemayim. Would I be able to make matzah out of mun to be yotze with it? Right? Or
they won't have to make it. Just imagine.
Right. Let's say now it is. No, let's say now it is. Or for example, what about something like hydroponically grown grains? Right? Would those be considered grains? Because they may be different than regular grains, but they can, I assume, hydroponically grown grains can become bread. So they can become bread, but is it really a grain? Because it didn't really grow as a normal grain. So if you say it has to be a grain, so then maybe you wouldn't be able to use hydroponically grown grains for matzah. But if you say it just has to be something which rises like bread, so then even hydroponically grown grain would be able to be used as matzah. Anyway, it's an interesting question. I'm not sure exactly. I think there are two different ways of looking at it. Regardless of which way you look at it, rice certainly does not become chametz, and it does not become, right? It has both of the two negatives. It doesn't rise, and it's not a grain. So that's one Gemara. The second Gemara I actually did see quoted. The Pri Chadash, one of the commentators on the Shulchan Aruch, quotes this second Gemara as a possible source for the minhag. I believe the Pri Chadash was a Svardi, right? So Svardim do not follow this custom of not eating kidneys. They do eat kidneys, right? Although, from what I understand, some don't.
Moroccans
don't.
I think some of the different customs of kidneys.
So I don't know the customs. That I didn't see. Ravaji Yosef doesn't mention any of the, in the Yaakov Yosef, he doesn't seem to mention any of the customs not to. He just says you can eat it.
Why do they?
So that's a good question. So the sources for the custom is Ashkenazic sources, and the Sfardim never bought into the custom. Right? It's all a custom. So again, look, we have to try to figure out what's the reason why we don't. Right? It makes a lot of sense that we should or we could, which is what the Sfardim do.
Why don't we? But that doesn't explain why they do.
Well, unless they just disagree with they never had the custom. They disagree with the reasons and they never had the custom. Right? The burden of proof is really upon us, as we'll see. As we'll see as we go forward, the burden of proof is really upon us Ashkenazim to explain why we do not eat kidneys, and not on the Sfardim as to why they do eat kidneys.
Well, kidneys would be otherwise okay because they're just vegetables. That why can't you be allowed to eat
rice? Why can't you eat rice? It's not chametz. It can't become bread. You can't use it for matzah.
Potatoes, same thing.
Okay, so potatoes we'll get to. Potatoes are interesting, actually. There's a whole discussion about potatoes.
And quinoa also
we'll
get to, too.
We'll get to, yeah.
So
yeah.
We need to prove why we can't eat rice.
Yeah.
Because they say we can't.
Yeah, why not? It's not chametz.
Right, so why not?
Right. So good. So the Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Mem Amud Beis, right before the Mishnah on Daf Mem Amud Beis, the Gemara tells a story about Rav Papi. Rav Papi allowed the servants in the house of the Reish Galusa to thicken a pot that was cooking on the flame with flour of chassisi flour. So comes along Rabba and says, how could you allow them to put chassisi flour into this pot? I guess it was on Pesach. How could you allow them to come to put chassisi flour into this pot? There are people who aren't so careful about halacha. They may be confused and they may end up put real flour in there and making chametz. So that's the end of the story. So the question is, what's chassisi flour? Right? What's chassisi flour that that Rav Papi is allowing you to put into this pot? And what is it that Rava is saying, don't put that in because it might lead people to make a mistake? So Rashi explains that chassisi flour is dried out or cooked kernels of wheat. Right? So apparently there are a few ways to make kernels of wheat not able to rise. You could either throw them into boiling water, and then the wheat won't be able to, the wheat will not be able to turn into flour that can rise, or you can dry them out completely in an oven. So Rashi thinks this is dried out wheat kernels. They threw them in, they can't become chametz, so on Pesach they throw them in to thicken up this mixture, whatever this dish that they're making. So that's where Puppy said, no problem, it's wheat flour or wheat kernels, but they're completely dried out, they'll never become chametz, so no problem, throw them into this pot. Rava comes along and says, don't do that, people are going to be confused. If that's what happened in the Gemara, so it makes a lot of sense to what Rava is saying, that people will be confused, because people will think you could throw regular flour into a pot and make chametz. That's going to make chametz on Pesach. So that makes a lot of sense. And if that's what the Gemara means, and according to Rashi that's what the Gemara means, then it has nothing to do with kidneys. That's talking about real flour. Talking about real chametz. Don't put the flour that can't become chametz in there, because people might come to put real flour in there which will become chametz. That's Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara. Tosos has a different interpretation of the Gemara, because he says on the previous page, on Lama Testament Beis, there's a statement of Mar Zutra who says that you can't do that. Explicitly says you can't put dried out flour into the pot because we're worried that maybe it's not completely dried out. And nobody argues on Mar Zutra over there. So he says if Mar Zutra says you can't put dried out flour into the pot, so then how could Rav Papi argue on Mar Zutra a page later? So Tosa says, therefore it must be that chasisi flour is not dried out flour, but rather, he says, it's lentil flour. Lentil flour, so then already that's talking about kidneys. So according to Tosfos, what the Gemara is saying is, Rav Papi said, no problem with kidneys. Take your lentil flour, throw it into the pot, because it's kidneys, throw it into the pot, and you'll thicken it up, no problem. Comes along Rav and says, wait a second. If people see you throwing lentil flour into the pot, they may think you can throw regular flour into the pot. They won't know the difference between lentil flour and regular flour, and they'll end up putting regular flour into the pot, which will make chametz. So according to that, that would be one of the sources for our custom of kidneys. I say that because when the Mordechai in Gemara on Lamed Hey, when the Mordechai quotes the Smach, who is really the source for this minhag, so the Smach has a few reasons, two reasons for the why there's a custom of kidneys, why the custom of kidneys came about. So one reason he says is because it's very similar. Both reasons are similar to grains. Kidneys are similar to grains. In what way? So he says, first of all, both of them are a maisa kadera, meaning you make dishes out of both of them. You cook them both in pots and you make dishes out of them. So they're similar and people will be confused. The second one is that you make flour and bread out of them. That both kidneys and regular grains, you grind to make flour and you can make some form of bread out of, and people might be confused. If you're eating kidneys bread, rice bread, if you can make such a thing, but if you make rice bread or cornbread, we'll call it cornbread, although apparently they didn't have corn at the time of the Gemara, but if you're making cornbread, people will say, well, if you can have cornbread, I can have regular bread. And people will be confused and end up making real bread. So because they're worried that people might be confused and get confused between the kidneys and the regular grains, therefore the custom became, we don't eat kidneys at all. And he puts in, you can't eat kidneys, and you can't put in, and you can't eat legume. Lamed yud gimel vav mem, legume, which I assume means legumes, which is how the custom then became also legumes. And he says chardal, which is mustard. Right, so that's why we can't eat mustard, legumes, and kidneys, whatever kidneys are, whatever the definition of kidneys are, and we'll see. You can't eat them on Pesach because people will be confused. We'll get confused between those and the other and the real grains. Now the Rambam disagrees. He says it's okay. The Rush says we don't pass him like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And when he's in his codification of the laws in the back of the Gemara, when he quotes the halachas, so he doesn't make any mention of this smack. To the best of my knowledge, I didn't see the Rush mention this smack. I saw him say we don't pass him like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and you could go eat your rice on Pesach. The Rambam says you could eat your rice on Pesach. The Tur, who is also an Ashkenazic posek, also says it's an unnecessary minhag. It's not necessary to not eat kidneys. You could eat kidneys. The Beis Yosef also, Yosef Karo, who is also the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the Sephardi rabbi, he says certainly he agrees with the Tur that it's an unnecessary custom, and he says obviously you can eat kidneys. However, he says the only ones who follow this custom are the Ashkenazim, and he quotes one more reason as to why. And this last reason is one of the main reasons that is important for nowadays as well. He says the last one is because sometimes kidneys get mixed together with grains, with one of the five grains. And they get packaged together because they were harvested together, because they may have been grown near each other, and they may become mixed together. So somebody buys a pound of kidneys, they may end up with a few pieces of wheat in there. And comes Pesach, you have a few wheat kernels mixed in with your kidney yolks. So the, on Pesach, even if there's even a drop of chametz in something, and it and you cook it on Pesach, it's usher. So because they got mixed together, and they were worried that that the kidney yolks would be mixed together with the other grains. Therefore, the Beis Yosef said that's also one of the reasons why the Ashkenazim were machmer to have this custom not to eat kidney yolks.
Yeah, but it should be prohibited against the Sephardi also if they're going to be eating chametz.
Okay, right.
But ultimately, you're
right.
The reason is you're eating chametz.
The,
so
the reason is for confusion is that they might be harvesting because there's this proof.
That's right.
They're
going to be harvesting the same thing.
Right.
They're not going to be harvesting together because we have, I mean, everything we eat is carefully supervised and watched over during Passover and after Passover and throughout the year to make sure that nothing is harvested together or put together that shouldn't be put together. So if we can trust everything else that's not being done together, then why is it that rice can't be specifically harvested?
Right, right, actually. They're supposed to have part of the rice and some rice next to hummus because of the way they wash it.
Well, then some brilliant kosher Passover manufacturer, Manischewitz, will grow their own rice and make sure that's not washed.
It's not because rice.
What do you mean rice might be
hummus? Some rice, because the only reason I know this is actually when I was going to plant the book. Rice is when they wash it and they enrich it, they enrich it with flour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I didn't know.
So they won't. I mean, it doesn't strike the biggest problem.
Right. Right.
Well,
so
I know it should be prohibited for both.
Even so, no, because
possible
so, right.
Or it's been permitted.
Okay, right.
100%.
So the Rama, who is Ramosha Isserowitz, who was the, you know, in the Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the Ashkenazic halacha. In his comments on the Shulchan Aruch, and he also has comments in the standard editions of the tour, quoted on the bottom of the page is the Darkei Moshe, which the Ramosha Israelis also wrote, and in there he explains, yes, we follow this custom that we don't eat kidney yolks, and these are the reasons basically quoted, because first of all, it might be mixed together with chametz grains, and people might be confused because both are cooked in similar ways, and because you could make bread or flour and some type of bread out of kidney yolks, so just like grain, and people will be confused. So the main reason is either because people will be confused or because we're actually worried that there will be some grain mixed in together with the kidney yolks. Now, the reason why I say the burden of proof is upon us is because the Ramah quotes the minhag in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says all these things are mutter. Rice is mutter. It doesn't become chametz. It's fine. You can eat it. The Rama says no. Yesh osrim. There are some who have minhag who say it's aser. The haminhag v'ashkenaz lahachmer. And the minhag in Ashkenaz is to be machmer, to be stringent. Ve'ein l'shanos. And we shouldn't change it. What do you mean ve'ein l'shanos? That means that even if you can tell me that it's not mixed together with the grain, and even if you can tell me that for whatever reason nobody will be confused, nevertheless the minhag developed and it's our minhag, right? So even if Manischewitz comes up with some type of rice that can 100%, they check all the rice, right? The Sephardim check all the rice before they eat it. They check it three times, right?
Yeah.
Three times. So the Sephardim check all of the rice to make sure that there are no grains mixed in there. And there are some who think that process also might, you know, be enough to remind people not to be confused between this and regular grains. But the Ashkenazic custom, and according to the Rama, is that we don't follow that. That even if we can ensure that there's no chametz in here, if it's kidney yolks, we don't eat it. Right? So that's why the burden of proof is really upon us as to why we have the minhag. Because we can ensure nowadays that there can be ways to ensure that there's no chametz mixed in. And nevertheless, even if the reasons may not apply, still rice, which can be as clean as anything, we're not allowed to eat. Why? Because it's our custom. So the question is, how strong is that custom?
I mean, seriously, so, I mean, something, the reason behind it no longer exists. We can ensure the reason behind it no longer exists, but we keep doing it because we've always done it.
Well, today you have this.
What's that?
Okay,
but that's different. No, 2 day Yantav is different because that's already in the Gemara. This doesn't show up in the Gemara. This doesn't show up until the 15th century, 14th, 15th century. So that's a good question. And apparently there have been rabbis throughout the years who've tried to do away with the custom of kidney yolks, because they say if the reasons don't apply, then, you know, we shouldn't have to follow the custom of kidney yolks. But many others disagree. And certainly the prevalent custom is that the minhag still exists. And we don't eat kitniyos because it is our minhag. And the minhagim of Klal Yisrael are very important. Minhag avosenu b'yadeinu, the minhagim that were passed down as a minhag in Ashkenaz, in all of Ashkenaz, that became such a prevalent minhag, we don't change that. The question is why? Meaning, what's the power of this minhag? So I actually found four different explanations for the power of the minhag. Meaning, just why is it so strong? Why is it binding? The Maharil calls it a gzera. He calls it a decree, a rabbinic decree. I'm not sure, I didn't see the Maharil inside. I saw it quoted in the Sefer. I'm not sure exactly what that means. Meaning, gzeras usually are in the time of the Gemara. The Gemara, they have decrees as rabbinic decrees. But after the Gemara, I wasn't sure that we still use that, the idea of a gzera, a real gzera. So I'm not sure exactly what he means. The Maritz Chayes, another Achron, writes that a minhag which becomes the norm, the prevalent, accepted norm amongst the Jewish people, it becomes like a din Torah. It becomes like it's written in the Torah and we have to follow it. So if that's the case, then regardless of whether it exists, whether the reasons exist or not, once it became our minhag, we have to follow it. Another, the Marcheshes writes that it became like a neder. Any minhag that a person follows, it becomes like a vow. I accept upon myself to follow this minhag, so it becomes as if I made a vow that I accept upon myself to do this. And once it becomes a vow, so we have to keep it. Now, a vow is a little bit easier to get out of. You could do Hataras Nadarim. All of the Jewish people, all of the Ashkenazim, can sit down and do Hataras Nadarim, according to that, and possibly get out of it. So there would be more room to work with that. And the final one is written in the Chayadim. The Chayadim writes that it's not a real din derabanan, and therefore it's not part of lotosur. Right, we know that anything the rabbis tell us we have to follow, because the pasuk in the Torah says lo tasur minu smol, that you can't turn away from the words of the rabbis, and that makes all of the rabbinic decrees that we have in the Gemara into Torah law, which gives it basically the same standing as Torah law, because the pasuk says follow the rabbis. And but the Chayadim says, but this is not a decree, this is not mentioned in the Gemara. So he says, but it's a minhag, and we have to follow it because the pasuk says in Mishlei al titosh Torah simecha. That the Chayadim thinks that the source for Minhagim is from the Pasuk in Mishlei, that Shema b'ni Musar Avicha, v'al titosh Torah Simecha. Torah Simecha, he thinks, referring to Minhagim. And therefore, this is a binding Minhag. Once the Minhag becomes something which is prevalent and accepted amongst Klal Yisrael, at least the Ashkenazim in Klal Yisrael, so it becomes binding on us like it was written in the Ksuvim, in Mishlei.
Going back to, you know, how strong or how powerful this minhag is of being a machmir, say his sister marries an Ashkenazi. Minhag, she has to accept that minhag of, right, give up kidney, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Or an Ashkenazi girl marries
him. Depends who he has.
Huh?
Right. Yeah. And so Rav Yosef writes, I think, that, you know, when she goes home, she can still eat kitniyos. When she's with him, maybe she shouldn't make for him, but maybe she would still be able to eat. Others would say, all right, this connects back to when we were talking about davening and Masechat Tefillah. So maybe it would be the same thing. I'm not sure. I don't know. But it would be a minhag, right?
So it's only a minhag.
So then once, but maybe if we assume that the woman takes on the minhagim of the husband, so then maybe this would be one of the minhagim that she would have to take on.
Or give up,
yeah. Right. So, okay.
Do you
eat Mekidya's kale? No. To the degree that... So there are some kulas. There are some leniencies built into kitniyos. One is that it's not usher to own them. Right? You can own all the rice you want on Pesach. You don't have to sell your rice, because you're allowed to even get benefit from kitniyos on Pesach. You just can't eat it. Another leniency is...
What do you get from looking at rice?
Well, if you sell it.
Sell it on chametz.
You can sell it. Because it's not really chametz. You can own rice.
This is a totally... You see, you're saying now it's a totally different category. You have
not chametz.
You have...
Kitniyos.
Not chametz. And then you have
kitniyos. Somewhere in the middle. Exactly. Right. So all this leftover rice Glenn won't have to get rid of before Pesach. He could just put it away.
He's enjoying it.
Patrick, a second.
Yeah.
How did legumes get mixed in? Was it just a toss in, or is it?
I'm not sure.
Like he just said, as long as we're not having rice, no legumes also.
I'm not sure. I don't know if legumes are as versatile as kidneys. I don't know if you can make can you make bread out of it? Can you make it into flour? I don't think so. Right. So I'm not sure. But it's in there.
What?
So we'll get to oils.
In Israel, I spent a couple of past up in
oil.
It's virtually impossible to go to anywhere and not have any derivative.
Okay, right. So Israel is confusing. Yeah.
Virtually impossible.
Okay.
And there's a lot of us going to...
Yeah, okay, so fine. Okay, so let's get to some of the Lemaisa. Yeah.
I was under the impression that the reason for the divide between Ashkenazim and Sephardim was more of a practical geographical concern, that the issue that kidney being mixed with humming things was a concern in like Western Europe, France, Poland, Germany, but wasn't a concern per se in Spain or in the Middle East where the Sephardi Rishon HaRachonim were. And then that was more of a practical issue, and that's why the Ashkenazim took that as a serious minhag and many Yisrael Kalacha, while the Sephardim was never a concern.
It could be.
Is that brought up anywhere?
I didn't see that. It could be. I'm not sure. I really didn't see that much in the literature that I saw about why the Sephardim don't do it, except for that there's really not much of a source for it. Right, all of these reasons, and we'll even see here, Moshe Feinstein even refers to the custom and says, the reasons are even a little bit weak. But still, we follow the custom because it's the custom. But we'll see. Moshe has a very interesting take and interesting for halacha l'maisa purposes also. So, yeah, but the leniencies. The reason why I mentioned the leniencies is because you asked about the kelim. So one of the leniencies of kinyas is that for a cholesh ein bo sakana, even a sick person, even if there's no danger, so they usually are allowed to have kidneys as well. And where that's really lemaisa is for babies, because a lot of baby formula has kidneys in it. Or I think I'm not sure if there are any that don't.
Soy
is kidneys. So
baby food in general.
What? Baby food in general. Baby food in general is even harder. But yeah, all of the rice, cereal, things like that.
I had that issue last year.
Right. So. Well, so for babies, we are mekel, even Ashkenazim are allowed to give their babies kidneys because they are halachically a cholesh ein bo sakana. They, you know, they have nothing else to eat. Certainly a baby, if a baby is being fed formula, and they need formula to exist, to live, so they need to have their kidneys. So they would be allowed to have kidneys. It's also lemaisa for older people. A lot of the nutritional supplements, like Ensure and things like that, also are from kidneys.
Rice for dialysis
patients. Rice for dialysis patients?
You'd be permitted.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I guess. I don't know exactly the
no,
thing.
If they need it, then
it sounds like it would probably be okay. But anyway, there are these built-in kulas. Now, it happens to be, though, that everybody writes that if you have a baby and you're feeding them with kidneys food, you should have separate kalim, separate utensils, and you should wash it in a different sink. In a bathroom sink, or in a basement sink. And I remember Pesach setting up all of the bottles around the bathroom sink. Because, if you only have one sink in the house, and then the only other sink is in the bathroom. So you're setting up all the bottles around the bathroom sink, washing all the bottles. But that's what you have to do when for those kalim. You have to keep them separate and even wash them in a different sink. So there is a whole discussion about kidneys derivatives, things that come from kidneys. For example, the most prevalent is oil, right? Oil made from kidneys. So the Rama writes that oil, you can light oil of kidneys, meaning you can light a wick and use oil of kidneys to light a candle, but you can't eat it, right? And that's most seem to make that assumption. There is an opinion who thinks that this Rama, when he says that you can light kidneys oil on Pesach, that means kidneys oil that was made on Pesach. But if it was made before Pesach, you can even eat the kidneys oil, right? So there is an opinion that you can eat kidneys oil as long as the oil was made before Pesach. And when the Rama says you can't eat the oil, but you can light it, that's talking about kidneys oil that was made on Pesach. That's why...
What's the difference?
if it's made on or beforehand.
So there's certain leniencies that are that you know about tyrovis, that if even chametz, if chametz gets mixed into a mixture before Pesach, so it's nullified.
Is it butter
in
or
six in
or
as long as there's 60, more than 60 is the ratio. But on Pesach it's aser b'mashir. So kidneyos.
Corn oil.
So let's say corn oil. So corn oil, corn is the kidneyos. So corn oil. So according to the Ramah, you can light your yontif candles on Pesach from corn oil. There is one opinion who says you shouldn't have your candles near your food on the table near the food if you're lighting kidneyos oil because you're worried that they might spill into the food. But most don't seem to worry about that. There was even one opinion that says the custom is not even to light kidneyot oil. But it seems that the Rama writes you can light your kidneyot oil. And there's one opinion who says you could even eat kidneyot oil as long as it was made before Pesach. It's for that reason. Now, in Europe, most of the poskim followed the Rama and said that you're not allowed to eat kidneyot oil, but you can light kidneyot oil. However, there were some who followed this opinion of the Marsham, who says that you're allowed to even eat kidneyot oil, like corn oil, on Pesach, and the Rabbanut in Israel took that opinion, follows that opinion. That's why in Israel, all of the Rabbanut, and I think some of the Mahadrans also, I'm not sure about that, give Pesach Hashgachas to kidneyot oil, and it doesn't say only for Ochle kidneyot. But the Dats, I think, follows the European custom of only giving hashgachas to non-kitniot oil. So in Israel, it's much harder to find non-kitniot oil, right? Because they follow this opinion that oil, a derivative of kitniot, is mutter. Now, there is an interesting, a few interesting just oil points about kitniot oil. So cottonseed oil. There's actually discussion about cottonseed oil. Cottonseed is a seed. So kidneyot is basically a seed. We assume kidneyot is a seed. What type of seed is the question, but the Rambam writes that kidneyot is a seed that we eat. Right? It's a seed that we eat, and some say, and that you plant, and more of these seeds grow. Right? And that's it. Right? So cottonseed is a form of kidneyot. I take that back. Like a chickpea. Right? A chickpea would probably be considered kidneyot. Which is why we can't have hummus on Pesach. But cottonseed. So the question is cottonseed considered kidneyos? So cottonseed you can't eat, right? Nobody eats cottonseed, but we can make oil from it. So apparently, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank were of the opinion that cottonseed oil is mutter on Pesach because since the cottonseed is not edible, so it's not considered kidneyos because nobody eats it. And therefore, the oil that comes out of the cottonseed is mutter, because it's not a derivative of kidneyos. And the OU, I believe, takes that approach, and if you look on their kidneyos list, they put cottonseed as non-kidneyot, which would mean that the oil from cottonseed would be okay. Others disagree. The Minchas Yitzchak, who is the dayan of the Bedatz in Yerushalayim, so he was of the opinion that cottonseed oil should be considered kidneyos. And then I saw that he may have written another tshuva, that he may have rescinded that. But certainly here, in Eretz Yisrael, they may be machmir for cottonseed oil. But in America, I think, I'm not sure, I haven't gone shopping yet, but based on this OU list, it sounds like, or it seems like to me, that you would be able to use cottonseed oil on Pesach because it wouldn't be considered kidneyos. There is a whole question about corn syrup, because corn syrup is also a derivative of kidneyos, but it's a little bit different than corn oil or any oil, because it's not squeezed from the seed, but rather they manipulate it with, they take the starchy meat of the corn and convert it into syrup with enzymes, and they turn it somehow into corn syrup. So there is a discussion as to whether that's the same as oil, because it was kidneyos, and somehow this is a liquid form derivative of kidneyos. Or do you say, no, oil is a form of derivative of kidneyos. This is a completely different product here.
What about ethanol when you fill up your car? If you have a flex, it's like E85 or something. It's like 95% corn oil.
Where's your station?
Well, not around here, but they have cars that are just
yeah, but that's not food, so it's probably okay.
But then you go back to getting benefit.
Yeah, but if it's nifsal me'achilas kelev, right? The rule is by chametz that if something is nifsal me'achilas kelev, that a dog wouldn't eat it, so it's even if it's chametz, it's mutter. It's mutter chametz.
Did you say you could derive benefit from kidney oat during...
Yeah, I mean even kidney oat food. Oh, you're saying even on top of that.
Right. You can derive benefit.
Right, yeah. Thank you, yes.
Tom said you can't look at the can. Right. You can't use the can.
Well, most assume you can.
If you can't use the can...
It's not edible.
Right. No, but you can get benefits from it.
No, but the other rabbi said you can't.
You said you can't even.
You can't enjoy the candle that.
Yeah, I'm not sure why not.
From kidney oil.
I'm not sure why not. That's not because of Sasser Bahana. I'm not sure why not.
Right, because he said you can't enjoy the candle.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't be able to light the candle. That's why the Rama says you can light the candle. Just and you can even put it on your table and not worry that it's going to spill into the. Maybe not. Okay, there is also a whole interesting discussion about canola oil, maybe we'll get to that at the end of this. Canola is rapeseed. Canola is rapeseed. So, yeah, but we'll get to that at the end. I'll tell you why. Okay, there is also a whole discussion about kidneyos, which changes, meaning they completely change the form and the taste of the kidneyos, as to whether that would be considered still a product of kidneyos and a problem, or is it considered something completely new? Like MSG apparently is coming from kidneyos somehow, but it's also a completely different taste than you started with. So would that be considered a product of kidneyos, or do we say, no, once it's completely changed, then it loses its name of kidneyos, and now it's something which is completely allowed? Now, I'm just rushing there because I do want to get to potatoes, peanuts, and quinoa. Potatoes, the Chayyadim writes that a person shouldn't eat potatoes because you can make flour out of it, and people might come to be confused with the flour of potatoes. If you can use flour of potatoes and make bread out of potato bread, so you may then lead them to make
potatoes, right?
Right, we eat potatoes. Yeah,
lots of it.
We eat that, that's all we eat.
Up to the rafters,
so
we'll
good.
For a week.
So there, most people disagree. Most opinions disagree with this chayadam, and there are two reasons why. One is possibly because just out of complete need. There's one opinion that somebody said the chayadam wanted to take away the chayadam on Pesach. Right, the chayadam, the author of the chayadam, wants to take away the life of a person on Pesach because you're taking away the only thing we could eat. And there was one other, I saw, I think the Radomsker Rebbe said something like, it's a good thing that potatoes weren't around the time when they were making this minhag, because they may have been included in the minhag had they been around, but since they weren't, it's okay. And if they were included, then we'd really just be left with matzah and, I don't know what else, cheese, chicken. I mean, that's it. So, Separately, of course. So therefore, so we do eat potatoes. The second reason why we eat potatoes, and I didn't mention this yet, because it's really in a tshuva about peanuts. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about peanuts, which is a very important tshuva. Rav Moshe basically says that there are different customs. Apparently, different places in Europe have different customs about peanuts. But so the question was, so what about peanut oil? What about, I guess, in America, what should they do about peanuts? Can you eat peanuts on Pesach? So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, he says, first of all, you know, understand that the reasons for the minhag of not eating kidney oats are pretty weak. And he says, first of all, let's say take the reason that you make flour out of it. He says, well, it's not everything that you make flour out of that's usher because of kidney oats, because I'll give you a proof. Potatoes. You make flour out of potatoes and you're allowed to eat it. He says, so it's not that everything that you make flour out of. And he says, the second reason, that grains might get mixed in with them. He says, but if you look in the Ramah, so when he quotes this halacha, he says that there are certain things which he calls akliza, the enis, and eilander, which might be kimmel. I'm not sure exactly what kimmel is, but apparently it's a type of spice that people eat. And coriander. So these things, Rama says, those are not kidneyos. But other opinions say they're not kidneyos, but you have to make sure because sometimes grains get mixed in with them. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, if the reasons for kinyas were so strong, then anything that falls under the category of you make flour out of it, or grains might get mixed in, it should be usur because of kinyas. But you see that there are things that you make flour out of, like potatoes, and there are things that grains might get mixed into, like these kimmel, and still they're not kinyas. So he says, you see that the reasons are not all-inclusive reasons. And then he says, and mustard. Mustard doesn't have any of the reasons. Apparently, I mean, I don't think you can make flour out of mustard. And he says, grains don't get mixed in with mustard. And still, just whatever reason, the smack said that mustard is considered kitnios. So he says, you see clearly that the reasons are not really such strong reasons, and therefore not all-inclusive, that they can continue to add to the list of kitnios. And he says, on top of that, the whole custom of kinyos, he says, you have to understand, it was not a gzera in the time of Chazal. It was not a gzera in the Gemara that they all the Chacham got together and said, this should be a new rule, kinyos is our usher. He says, no, it was a minhag. So a minhag is different than a gzera. A gzera in the Gemara, when they give you a reason, so if the reason applies to something new, you then say, well, this new thing would also fit into this gzera, and therefore it's usur. But when it comes to a minhag, when it comes to a custom, he says, you don't take the reasons, the svara for the minhag, and apply it to every new item that comes along. He says, a minhag applies to only the things that were around at the time of the minhag. So if the custom was not to eat legumes on rice, so that's what's usur. That's what's kitnios. But if potatoes weren't around at the time, and peanuts weren't around at the time, so corn might be the exception to his rule, because everybody agrees that corn is kitnios, but that's the only question on this idea. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says, then anything new would not be considered kitnios. It's only the things that you'll find listed somewhere in these early writings. So we find some of these things. We find rice. We find whatever else we find. So all those things, those are kitnios. But something new, like peanuts, he says, you don't add to the list of kitnios because it's only a minhag. So, according to Moshe Feinstein, you could eat peanuts on Pesach, and he says potatoes also. Potatoes weren't around, so therefore you could eat potatoes on Pesach.
So, what he's effectively saying is that the minhag to be strict was only in effect for those handful of items that
things
were
that existed then. That for things that existed then, or if they existed, they didn't know about them. In those areas. So he says that the things that existed then that they knew about, that they said the minhag applies to, it applies to. Anything else, it doesn't apply to. It could be that they didn't know about them in those areas.
No, where were they?
Where
were
they?
They were
there.
Now, okay, just it should be noted that there are others who disagree with Moshe Feinstein's position. And there are others who say that that's not true. That anything that fits into these categories, once the minhag is a minhag, kitnios is a certain category of a seed which is eaten, and anything that fits the reasons and the category of kitnios is usur on Pesach. And that's why it's a big machlokes what to do with peanuts nowadays, because Rav Moshe Feinstein said it should be fine. Others disagreed with him and said it should be a problem. And also peanut oil, right? Rav Moshe Feinstein says it should be fine, and others say it shouldn't be, because they say that a minhag is similar to a gzera. Once it was made, that anything that fits the category is put into the category, even if it's a quote-unquote new item. Nobody that I saw besides the Chayadim went as far as to say, and therefore potatoes should also be usur. Again, I don't think anybody's looking to take potatoes away from us on Pesach. But peanuts, certainly, there is a big debate about. And that gets us to quinoa, right? So obviously, quinoa is also one of these quote-unquote new items. Right. Apparently, they've been growing it for a very long time in South America.
What is it?
It's a little grainy looking. Right. It looks a little bit like.
Is it officially a berry?
I don't know what it officially is. I'm not sure if it's a berry. It doesn't grow on a tree.
Does it make it live for 150?
It has less taste than rice.
Yeah.
Well,
I think
that's okay.
but it's like a substitute for rice, and it's very healthy.
Very healthy.
Very healthy. And apparently it's easy to make. So there's a machlokes about quinoa as well, the status of quinoa, because on the one hand it's a seed, it looks like a little tiny seed, it looks like it should be kitnios, it looks like something that we would call Kitneos.
Right.
But according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it wasn't around. It should
right.
be fine because it wasn't around. So if, as long as it wasn't around, so then it should be okay. So that's a machlokas. That is different kashrut agencies take different approaches. The OU writes in their list that they might be kitneos. The OU says peanuts and quinoa might be kitneos. And they don't take a stand. That means they don't take a stand. They're not taking a stand. I am still researching what the custom of the community is, and I will get back to you. I will get back to you soon. If you'd like to know, I hope to have an answer by within the next few days what the community custom is regarding peanuts and quinoa. But for now, just understand what the debate is about. Now, it happens to be, just one more point about quinoa, the only other issue about quinoa is apparently there are problems that they actually do have these problems with quinoa now that they get mixed together
with other grains.
With other grains. And apparently the Star K and the CRC both said, I think, last year that quinoa was okay. Based on his tshuva of Rav Moshe. Sarkei certainly uses his tshuva of Rav Moshe.
You can see OU's opinion if you
want
to
do
better.
Yeah, I did. I know the
opinion. Would you have to get quinoa that's specifically packaged?
Okay, so even those who say that it's not kitneos, because they follow the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, that these new things are not considered kitneos, apparently the Sarkei, I think, changed their position a little bit, and they added that there has been problems with packages of quinoa containing other grains in it because of either where they're grown or because of the plants that they're processed in also process grains, and they're not cleaned perfectly for our Pesach standards, and therefore there could be other grains mixed in with the quinoa. Therefore, the Star K advises that you should only buy, if you assume that it's not kitneos, which again is an assumption, it's a machlokas, but assuming that it's not kidney, as Star K says, you can only buy if it has a kosher lepesach hashgacha because it might be mixed in with other grains. The CRC, the Chicago Rabbinical Council, they on their website took a little bit of a different approach, and they said while that's true that it might be mixed in with other grains, there are ways to get around it. And what you'd have to do is apparently only buy the companies that process that grow quinoa in Bolivia, and then you have to buy the quinoa from Bolivia, and you have to check it, similar to how the Sephardim check rice.
Yeah.
That you'd have to spread it out the way they say it. You spread it out on a piece of on a plate, one layer of quinoa, and you carefully look through it to make sure that it all looks like quinoa. Now you have to know what quinoa looks like to start, and you have to know what the other grains look like, also what you're looking for, but you have to basically make sure that there's no other grains mixed in there. So that's what the CRC says, that's what the Star K says. So again, some say it's quinoa.
Has the OU taken a stand?
No, they said they're not sure.
They're not sure.
I think different posts give
them
the OU.
Where is it on their kidneys list?
They say it might be.
That's helpful.
Well, that's because it's a machlokas between some of the postkin there, I think, as to whether it's kidneys. So some say quinoa is kidneys. Others say it's not kidneys. I know in Toronto, the COR, I think, of Toronto says it is kidneys. Others, and therefore you wouldn't be able to eat it. Some say it's not kidneys. So I told you, I'm still researching the community, the custom of the community.
Wait for a callback.
And,
I love the fullest brand you can buy,
Listen, if they
right.
taste kosher,
right.
Okay,
just that you should know, and with this will end, just to know, I'll just throw it out there. There's even a discussion as to whether you'd be able to make matzah out of kidneys. Now, why? Some say, of course you can, right? Why should it be usher to make matzah out of kidneys? I can make matzah even for an Ashkenazi. I can make matzah out of real grain. So why should I be more machmir on kidneys than I am with the real grain? Right? Especially if the reason for the kidneys is only because there might be real grain in there. So if I can, whatever I'm doing with the kidneys, if I could do it with real grain, so why should I be more machmir on kidneys than I am on real grain? That's what some say. Others disagree. and say no, because once you start leniencies with kidneys, so then it opens the door to everybody saying, well, look, I can make matzah with kidneys, and I can start baking with kidneys, I can start cooking with kidneys, and oh yeah, kidneys is more makel anyway, it's more lenient anyway, I can just start eating kidneys. And they're worried about the progression, and therefore they say you shouldn't even make matzah, you shouldn't even do something which you can do with the five grains, you shouldn't even do that with kidneys. So kidneys, basically, that's kidneys in a nutshell.
Very good.
As far as you can eat matzah from kidneys.
Yeah, but they can't eat it to be fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, because the Mishnah says you can only fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with the five grains, but they'd be able to make whatever they want out of kidneys, because...
What about Baba Ganoush? Why is that?
What about
is that problematic?
Baba Ganoush? I don't know what's in Baba Ganoush.
Eggplant.
I think it's okay. If you'd like to see the kidneys list, I have one here from the OU.
There's a derivative of kidneys.
Oh, there's derivative. It could be the oil. It could be some of the oil, yeah.
What's the source of the word kidneys itself? Where does that word come from?
I don't know. I mean, the Rambam quotes it also. It could be.
Is it Hebrew or Aramaic?
No, it's a seed. It means a seed.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Rambam says there are different types of in Hilchos Kilayim. The Rambam lists different types of plants, and one of them is kidneys.
So
he says kidneys are seeds
that
are not grains.
Seeds
that are not grains, meaning first he lists
wheat
five grains.
Okay.
So he says kidneys, and then a different type is kidneys, which is not a grain.
And
the seed is not
the
a grain.
Topic for everything that falls under
right
now.
Well, that's the question, whether it's yeah, yeah.
Canola oil.
Oh, canola oil. The reason why canola oil is a question is because some think that canola oil is new, because apparently it only came to the United States in 1985. 1985, they started making canola oil. But that's what it says on the OU's website. One of the articles I read on the OU's website. Now, the only thing is, canola oil is really rapeseed oil with a little bit less uric acid, which is supposed to lead to something not healthy. So, it's canola oil is really the same thing as rapeseed oil, just with a little bit less uric acid, and therefore, so some thought originally, well, if it's new in 1985, this new thing called canola oil, it's a new product, like peanuts, according to Moshe Feinstein, it should be okay. But I think the answer is that's not true, because it's not really a new product. There's nothing called canola. It's rapeseed oil with a little bit of this uric acid taken out of it, and therefore it's an old oil, and rapeseed is on the list of kidneys, and therefore canola oil would be a derivative of kidneys. Okay, we'll stop there.